You can open your Bibles back to Isaiah 55 again, and we will continue our study in looking at that passage of Scripture. Today we are going to look at verse 6 and 7 of Isaiah 55. You can follow along as I read. Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessed word. Thank you for the Holy Scriptures, where you speak to us, where your Spirit teaches us, where you instruct us, Lord, in righteousness, in who you are, how we can know you. Lord, I pray that you speak to us this morning. We thank you for your presence in this place that we've already experienced, felt, and known. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will minister to us through this message today, that we will be built up in our faith and encouraged, and that you'll be glorified. We thank you for that. Father, we do pray for our nation and for the world and for Israel. We pray, Lord, that you would magnify your name, and that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth, in all the earth, as it is in heaven. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. As we have already begun looking at this chapter, this passage of Scripture from Isaiah, this stupendous invitation by God to the forgiven, to the redeemed, and to all who will come, to whoever is thirsty, whoever is hungry, whoever is in need, whoever wants to be saved. He extends this invitation, and it's an invitation of grace. It is one that is beyond measure in cost, and yet we're invited to partake of it without money and without price. He invites us to come and to listen and to hear his voice and to let our soul delight itself in abundance, to experience his mercy. No condemnation, utter delight. So how do you get past your past? As a believer, as the Jews were here that Isaiah is prophesying and speaking God's word to, who are under suffering and the consequences of their choices and their sin and their past, and yet God promises them this suffering servant, this Savior in Isaiah 53, who will bear their sins and their iniquities upon the cross and take them, those away, and offer them this opportunity to be right with God. How do we get past our past? How do we delight our soul, even while we know that we face sin and our weakness and those things that we struggle with as followers of Christ? How do we take advantage continuously of this open and wonderful invitation from God? And that's what he tells us. He spent those first five verses with this wonderful invitation and with wonderful promises to all who will avail themselves of this opportunity. And then he gets specific on how to do so. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him. Respond. Repent. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Call, repent. It's not complicated. Rather simple. In fact, Paul said that the simplicity of the gospel is so profound and precious that it needs to be paid close attention to, lest we complicate it and make things far more difficult than they are. God's invitation is wonderful, and His promises are unimaginable. To avail ourselves, it's simply to seek the Lord while He may be found, to call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, while he may be found, while he is near. Now, God's not going anywhere. God is omnipresent. He is always present. His grace is immeasurable. His mercy, the psalm says over and over and in other places, His mercy endures forever. But there's something about being on time. There's something about being prompt, paying attention, being on time. Kind of like a story I read is about a fellow who played bagpipes, and he was often invited to funerals. He said, "As a bagpiper, I play many gigs. Recently, I was asked by a funeral director to play at a graveside service for a homeless man. He had no family or friends, so the service was to be at a pauper cemetery in the Kentucky backcountry. As I was not familiar with the backwoods, I got lost, and being a typical man, I didn't stop and ask for directions. I finally arrived an hour late and saw the funeral guy had evidently gone and the hearse was nowhere in sight. There were only the diggers and crew left, and they were eating lunch. I felt badly and apologized to the men for being late. I went to the side of the grave and looked down, and the vault lid was already in place. I didn't know what else to do, so I started to play. The workers put down their lunches, began to gather around. I played my heart out and my soul for this man with no family and friends. I played like I'd never played before for this homeless man. And as I played Amazing Grace, the workers began to weep. They wept. I wept. We all wept together. When I finished, I packed up my bagpipe, started for my car. Though my head hung low, my heart was full. As I opened the door to my car, I overheard one of the workers say, "I never seen nothing like that before, and I've been putting septic tanks in for 20 years. It's important to be on time. when the opportunity arises, that's the time to respond. I believe that's what the Lord is saying in this passage. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. The supreme importance and value of a tender and responsive heart when the Holy Spirit speaks and tugs on our thoughts. That's why it's so important to seek, to call, to repent, to respond when the pull is there, when the tug is there. God is always present. His mercy is immeasurable. It is beyond our greatest sin and all the sin of all the world. But we have no promise of tomorrow. We have no promise of another breath. And we have no promise of that willingness, that interest, that tug on our hearts. That's why when God speaks, when the Holy Spirit opens a door for us, when we feel that call, when we feel that invitation, when God is drawing us, respond. That's when it's time to say yes to God. When He extends the invitation, when we are convicted, or when we're blessed, or when our mind and our thoughts are towards God, respond. Seek Him. Call on Him. Turn to Him. Do not presume. Do not assume that there'll be a later. We have no guarantee that we will again want to, or that we will again be interested, or that we will again have that softness or that willingness in our heart. We're not guaranteed that we can do it again. It's that valuable, that precious. The invitation from God is that glorious. And that immeasurably wonderful and valuable that it calls for our immediate, willing, tender-hearted response. Because as I said, we're not promised another opportunity. Do not drag it on. Do not be like Pharaoh when God called Moses in the desert and said He was going to send him to deliver His people from bondage in Egypt. And He sent Moses to Pharaoh. 10 times Moses came and said, "Let my people go." God saying, "Let my people go and come and worship me." 10 times Pharaoh said no. The first 5 times, Pharaoh hardened his heart, the scripture says. The 6th and thereafter says that God hardened his heart. Pharaoh's stubbornness, Pharaoh's stiff will, and there were times when things got difficult enough, like when there were so many locusts and they were eating everything, and he went and asked for Moses to pray and get rid of the locusts, and God expressed His mercy and grace and did so, sent a wind and blew all of them out of there, and Pharaoh still didn't repent. He still refused to submit and surrender. 10 times he had opportunity, and 10 times he hardened his heart and said to Moses, the children of Israel, no. And then finally he went after them. When that time came that he did allow them, he wouldn't let them go for long, and he went after them, and he lost in the process. He lost. He lost not just the opportunity. He lost his firstborn son. He lost his army. And finally, his life. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him when He is near. The scripture says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. God extends such wonderful grace and mercy. The invitation, even that His Son spoke, which we read in our communion passage. Come unto me. God extends that invitation to us. He did through Noah. Things became so bad in the world. Men and evil became so corrupt and so dark that God was sorry He made man, but unwilling to give up, but His holiness necessitating a response, He set about to bring about judgment. But He didn't just drop the hammer. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, the scripture says. And God commanded him to build this ark, and so he set about to do it, to save him and his family and the animals and all who would repent. And for 120 years, Noah preached righteousness. While he built that ark at God's command, he preached God's righteousness. He extended the invitation, the call to repentance, and met with mockery, ridicule, and rejection. 120 years God extended that invitation and opportunity to the wicked, to sinners, to men and women. And finally, at one point, the animals just started walking to the ark, 2x2. Still no one listened. Still no one responded. They would not submit. They hardened their hearts. And the last pair of animals entered that ark. The scripture says, God shut the door. God shut the door. And the flood washed them all away. When He offers the invitation, when He tugs on our hearts, seek the Lord. Call upon Him while He is near. Repent. Repent doesn't mean you make yourself perfect. Repentance is not a self-help program where you get cleaned up enough to come to God. Repentance is to turn around. Repentance is to turn to Him. To come to Him, to seek Him, to call upon Him, to receive His grace, because it's only God's grace and His mercy, His Spirit, His Word that transforms us. God's promise to us today, Isaiah 55, verse 7, the last part of that verse. Let him who? Sinners. Not the ones that have it all together, not the religious, not the ones that got things straightened out. The wicked, the unrighteous, that's what it says. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him. What a promise. There is no sin too great. The blood of Jesus cannot wash it away. But the sin of refusal to receive the blood of Jesus to wash it away. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. What a promise. Let him, who? The sinners. You and I, those who haven't got it all together all the time, those of us who struggle, those of us who fight with evil, those of us who fail, those of us who make mistakes, let us return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on us, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Wherever you are today, wherever you are at your life, at any moment, at any day, when the invitation comes, when the tug comes, when the impression comes, when the Holy Spirit draws, respond. Respond to Him then and experience His mercy. Experience forgiveness. Experience abundant pardon. While He may be found, while He is near, in that moment, the importance and great value of the moment when our heart is inclined, when it truly matters to us, when the thought and desire have come together in our heart, do not presume, do not assume they will come again. Act, repent, believe, confess, come to Jesus now. Great mercy, pardon, and blessing are promised. God is gracious. His ways are merciful. His thoughts are loving kindness. Even if you've come 1,000 times before, come again. He will abundantly pardon. His ways and thoughts are not like ours. There will come a day when, like the door on Noah's ark, God will shut it. And all those who would not come, all who would put it off, all who made fun and mocked God and Noah's preaching for 120 years, all who had no time for God, all who said maybe later when the Holy Spirit tugged at their heart, all those left outside when once His wrath is released, His people taken out and removed, those who find themselves like Noah's world, washed away with the flood, or rather the fire this time of His cleansing, redeeming judgment for the earth and the heavens. Those who are lost, do not be like them. The stubborn, the unwilling, those who refuse the invitation. Come, seek, call, turn to the Lord. Now while He's calling, while the door is open, while the invitation stands. Have all that you need, all you could want, that which is good, that which delights the soul and does not disappoint, abundant life, the sure mercies of David. As he said earlier in the chapter, come to Jesus now and come always. Enjoy his mercy, his favor, his grace. Are you thirsty? As he said in this psalm, come, come. Seek the Lord. When he invites, when he says come, seek him. Come to him. Call upon him. Come, buy and eat, he says. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Listen carefully to him and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Jesus said the thief came not but to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, but I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And that offer is to everyone who hears it and will come. Everyone who will come to Jesus, surrender to him. Take his yoke upon you. Don't be too busy. Don't be too hurried. Don't be too preoccupied. But respond, say yes, because the promise and the provision that is extended to us who say yes to Jesus is beyond description and it is beyond end. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. Lord, let it be and a reminder to us to live our lives with hearts and minds that are inclined towards you, that are listening for your voice, that are hearing what you're saying each day and throughout the day. In whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, let us be willing to seek you, to call on you, to turn to you, to receive your mercy, your pardon, your grace for ourselves and for those around us, for those we love, even for those we don't know, that we may share your grace with them through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, we love you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation here in a moment, and we'll stand up in a moment, but I just wanted to encourage us as a church and as believers. I know you all know what's going on in the world and in our country around us. I think we're probably at a very critical time with our situation in this country, with the border at Mexico and Texas and the conflict between Texas and 25 other governors of states and our president. And I just want to encourage you, as you think about that this week and in the days to come, to pray to lift that situation in our country to the Lord for a real turning to God.